Bobby tried to look into the newcomer's mind and saw only dim shapes. His ability was fading again, as it had on the day Mrs. Gerber took them to Savin Rock. Shortly after they left McQuown's stand at the end of the midway, it had been gone. This time, the winkle had lasted longer, but it was going now, all right.
"Hey, Dee," said the boy who had pulled Bobby's hair. "We're just going to shake this little guy out a little, make him pay his way across Diablo turf." "Not this one," Dee said. "I know him. He's my compadre."
"He looked like a pansy uptown boy to me,"
said the one who had called Bobby Cabron and Putino.
"I teach him a little respect." "He don't need no lesson from you," Dee said. "You want one from me, Mosso?"
Mosso stepped back, frowning, and took a cigarette out of his pocket. One of the others snapped him a light, and Dee drew Bobby a little further down the street.
"What are you doing down here, amigo?"
he asked, gripping Bobby's shoulder with the tattooed hand. "You stupid to be down here alone, and you fucking loco to be down here at night alone." "I can't help it," Bobby said. "I have to find the guy I was with yesterday. His name is Ted. He's old and thin and pretty tall. He walks kind of hunched over like Boris Karloff, you know, the guy in the scary movies."
"I know Boris Karloff, but I don't know no fucking Ted," Dee said. "I don't ever see him, man. You got to get out of here."
"I have to go to the corner pocket," Bobby said.
"I was just there," Dee said. "I didn't see no guy like Boris Karloff."
"It's still too early. I think you'll be there between 9:30 and 10. I have to be there when he comes because there's some men after him. They wear yellow coats and white shoes. They drive big, flashy cars. One of them's a purple DeSoto and..." Dee grabbed him and spun him against the door of a pawn shop so hard that for a moment, Bobby thought he decided to go along with his corner boy friends after all. Inside the pawn shop, an old man with a pair of glasses pushed up on his bald head looked around, annoyed, then back down at the newspaper he was reading.
"The jefe's in the long yellow coats," Dee breathed. "I seen those guys. Some of the others seen them, too. You don't want to mess with boys like that, Chico. Something wrong with those boys. They don't look right. Make the bad boys hang around Mallory's saloon look like good boys."
Something in Dee's expression reminded Bobby of Sully John, and he remembered S.J. saying he'd seen a couple of weird guys outside Commonwealth Park. When Bobby asked what was weird about them, Sully said he didn't exactly know. Bobby knew, though. Sully had seen the low men. Even then, they had been sniffing around.
"When did you see them?" Bobby asked.
"Today?"
"Cat, give me a break," Dee said. "I ain't been up but 2 hours. And most of that I've been in the bathroom making myself pretty for the street. I seen him coming out of the corner pocket, a pair of them, day before yesterday, I think."
"And that place, funny lately,"
he thought for a moment, then called, "Yo, Juan, get your ass over here." The crew cut puller came trotting over. Dee spoke to him in Spanish. Juan spoke back, and Dee responded more briefly, pointing to Bobby. Juan leaned over Bobby, hands on the knees of his sharp pants.
"You seen these guys, huh?"
Bobby nodded.
"One bunch in a big purple DeSoto, one bunch in a Chrysler, one bunch in a Olds 98.
Bobby only knew the DeSoto, but he nodded.
"Those cars ain't real cars,"
Juan said. He looked sideways at Dee to see if Dee was laughing. Dee wasn't. He only nodded for Juan to keep going.
"They something else."
"I think they're alive," Bobby said.
Juan's eyes lit up. "Yeah, like alive. And those men.
What do they look like? I've seen one of their cars, but not them.